Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Mem by Ram Gold. I am today Masechus Gittin Daf Mem Test, the fifth Perek HaNizakin. The Zikhu Masechus Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zecha Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the few Dafs we're going to focus on are one. The Gemara quoted a Brice where Rabbi Kiva said that the Torah requires payment for damages from his edis and concluded, but kavakomer lehekdesh, and this is certainly true for a payment to hekdesh. The Gemara wonders where this applies because if someone's ox gores an ox belonging to hekdesh, he's entirely exempt from paying because shora eu amarachmana. The Torah says one pays for damages for his friend's ox, vo shor shel hekdesh, but not at all for an ox of hekdesh. Ultimately, the Gemara answers that Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who said, Shor shel hekdesh, shenagol k'shor shel hediot pater. If hekdesh's ox gores a commoner's ox, hekdesh is pater from paying. V'shel hediot shenagol k'shor shel hekdesh. But if a commoner's ox gores hekdesh's ox, bein tam u bein mu'un, whether his ox was a tam or mu'un, meaning whether or not the owner would ordinarily have to pay for half or full damages, mishalom nezek shalom, he pays full damages to hekdesh. He interprets the above drusha as teaching that the distinction to pay half damages for a tam only applies for damages to a friend's ox, but damages to Hekdesh's ox are always paid in full. Point number two, on the previous stuff, the Gemara asked how the Mishnah could describe damage payments from Edis as being for Tikkun HaOlam if it's really based on a biblical law. Abai had answered that it follows Rabbi Shmuel. Ravina offers another explanation, that the Mishnah can follow Rabbi Kiva, who holds, Midaraisa b'damazik shaminin. Biblically speaking, we assess Edis based on the responsible party's properties. Although the payment from Edis is actually Daraisa, Rabbi Shimon he did darsh time at the Krat. It's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon who usually darshans the reasoning of the Pasuk. Thus, he's saying that the Torah required paying damages from Edis for a societal benefit. In a Braisa, he explains the benefit. Mifnei ha-gazlanim u'mifnei ha-chamsanim. Because of robbers and extortioners. Kadesh yomar adam. So a man will say, lamini gozav, lamini chomes. Why should I steal or why should I extort? L'machar basin yodin l'nechasai. Tomorrow basin will come seize my property. Menoitim sadan na'ar shali and take away my best field. He explains that a Baal Chov collects from Beninis and not Edis to discourage people from lending money as a means of obtaining a borrower's high-grade field. Still, they do not collect Ziboris because if they would, Atanoa Dels Mipnei Lovin, you are thereby closing the door in the face of borrowers, meaning potential lenders will refrain from lending money knowing they'll have to collect inferior property. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that Iksuba is collected from Ziboris. Marzut, the Breid Rav Nachman said, Valmarin El Miyasme, we said this only for a widow collecting her Iksuba from orphans, Avamine Dide Bebenonis. But a divorcee is collecting from the husband himself, she collects Benonis. The Gemara objects that the restriction to collect Ziboris from orphans applies to all debts, and not only Iksuba. It answers that there's an additional novelty in teaching that Iksuba is collected from orphan Ziboris. Salkadaita Chamina Mishum China. I might think because of favor, as Rashi explains, better collection rights as an incentive for a woman to marry, Akiu Rabban Gaba, the rabbis were lenient towards her and allowed her to collect from Beninis. The Mishnah teaches that this is not so, and that even Aksuba is collected from orphan Ziboris. Similarly, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Meru holds Aksuba is collected from Beninis, can hold it's collected even from orphans Beninis to encourage women to marry. On the next daf, the Gemara refutes Marzutra's opinion and concludes that Aksuba is always collected from Ziboris, even from the husbands. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara quoted a Braisa where Rabbi Kiva said that the Torah requires payment for damages from his edis and concluded v'kal v'chomer l'hekdesh, and this is certainly true for a payment to hekdesh. The Gemara wonders where this applies because if someone's ox gores an ox belonging to hekdesh, he's entirely exempt from paying because shora eu amarachmana. The Torah says one pays for damages for his friend's ox, vo shor shel hekdesh, but not at all for an ox of hekdesh. Ultimately, the Gemara answers that Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who said, Shor shel hekdesh, shenagol k'shor shel hediot pater. If hekdesh's ox gores a commoner's ox, hekdesh is pater from paying. V'shel hediot shenagol k'shor shel hekdesh. But if a commoner's ox gores hekdesh's ox, bein tam u bein mu'un, whether his ox was a tam or mu'un, meaning whether or not the owner would ordinarily have to pay for half or full damages, mishalom nezek shalom, he pays full damages to hekdesh. He interprets the above drusha as teaching that the distinction to pay half damages for a tam only applies for damages to a friend's ox, but damages to Hekdesh's ox are always paid in full. Point number two, on the previous daf, the Gemara asked how the Mishnah could describe damage payments from Edis as being for Tikkun HaOlam if it's really based on a biblical law. Abai had answered that it follows Rabbi Shmuel. Ravina offers another explanation, that the Mishnah can follow Rabbi Kiva, who holds, Midaraisa b'damazik shaminin. Biblically speaking, we assess Edis based on the responsible party's properties. Although the payment from Edis is actually Daraisa, Rabbi Shimon he did darsh time at the Krat. It's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon who usually darshans the reasoning of the Pasuk. Thus, he's saying that the Torah required paying damages from Edis for a societal benefit. In a braisa, he explains the benefit. Mifnei ha-gazlanim u'mifnei ha-chamsanim. Because of robbers and extortioners. Kadei she'yomer adam. So a man will say, lamini gozav, lamini chomes. Why should I steal or why should I extort? L'machar basin yodin l'nechasai. Tomorrow, basin will come seize my property. V'noitin sadan na'ar shali and take away my best field. He explains that a baal chov collects in beninis and not edis to discourage people from lending money as a means of obtaining a borrower's high-grade field. Still, they do not collect ziboris because if they would, atanoa delas mipnei lovin, you are thereby closing the door in the face of borrowers, meaning potential lenders will refrain from lending money knowing they'll have to collect inferior property. And point number 3, the Mishnah taught that Iksuba is collected from Ziboris. Marzut, Brei Rav Nachman said, Lamarin El Miyasme, we said this only for a widow collecting her Iksuba from orphans, of Aminei Didei Bebenonis. But a divorcee is collecting from the husband himself, she collects Benonis. The Gemara objects that the restriction to collect Ziboris from orphans applies to all debts, and not only Iksuba. It answers that there's an additional novelty in teaching that Iksuba is collected from orphan Ziboris. Salkadaita Chamina Mishum China. I might think because of favor, as Rashi explains, better collection rights as an incentive for a woman to marry, Aki Rabban Gaba, the rabbis were lenient towards her and allowed her to collect from Benonis. The Mishnah teaches that this is not so, and that even Aksuba is collected from orphan Ziboris. Similarly, the Gemara explains that Reb Meir holds Aksuba is collected from Benonis, can hold it's collected even from orphans Benonis to encourage women to marry. On the next daf, the Gemara refutes Marzutra's opinion and concludes that Aksuba is always collected from Ziboris, even from the husbands. Alright, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Tes, and our standard Siman is meat, and we often use a butcher in the Siman. A butcher, so here goes. The butcher with the green apron, who was visibly upset when the ox he was going to shecht cord an ox of Hektish, requiring him to pay from his edis. A deraisa payment that dissuaded some local gazlanim and chamsanim from their pursuits, was jealous when he heard some yosomim telling Almana she could only collect her ksuba from ziburis. Once again, slow motion. The butcher, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Tes, meat, butcher. The butcher with the green apron, who was visibly upset when the ox he was going to shecht, scored an ox of Hektish requiring him to pay from his edis, which reminds us, Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who said, Shorshal Hektish Shanagu Shorshal Hedya Pater. If a Hektish's ox gores a commoner's ox, Hektish is Pater from paying, Vishal Hedyot, Shanagu Shorshal Hektish, but if a commoner's ox gores Hektish's ox, Bain Tam Ubain Muad, whether his ox was a Tam or a Muad, Mishal Nezek Shalm, he pays full damages to Hektish. He interprets the drasha of Shorre Ehu as teaching that the distinction to pay half damages for a tum only applies to a friend's ox, but damages to Hektish's ox are always paid in full. So the butcher with the green apron, who was visibly upset when the ox he was going to shecht gored an ox of Hektish, requiring him to pay from his edis, a deraisa payment that dissuaded some local gazlanim and chamsanim from their pursuits, which reminds us, although the payment from edis is actually a deraisa, Rabbi Shimon hid the darsh time of the cry. It is the opinion Rabbi Shimon usually darshens the reasoning of the pasuk, and he's saying the Torah required paying damages from edis for a tikkun olam. In a braisa, he explains the benefit mifnei gazlanim mifnei chamsanim because of robbers and extortioners. So a man will say, why should I steal or why should I extort? Tomorrow, Basin will come and seize my property and take away my best field. So the butcher with the green apron, who is visibly upset when the ox he was going to shecht, Gordon ox of Hektish, requiring him to pay from his edis, a deraisa payment that dissuaded some local gazlanim and chamsanim from their pursuits, was jealous when he heard some yosomim telling Amana she could only collect her ksuba from Ziburis, which reminds us. The Gemara explains that there's an additional chiddush in teaching that Aksuba is collected from an orphan Ziburis. Sadaicha Chamina Mishum China. I might think that because of favor, as Rashi explains, better collections rights as an incentive for a woman to marry, the rabbis were making a ladder to collect from Beinonis. The Mishnah teaches that this isn't so, and that even Aksuba is collected from Yusomim Ziburis. There's a machlokes whether she collects from Beinonis or Ziburis when it comes to collecting her Aksuba from her husband. So once again, the butcher with the green apron, who was visibly upset when the ox he was going to shecht, Gordon ox of Hektish, requiring him to pay from his edis, a deraisa payment that dissuaded some local gazlanim and chamsanim from their pursuits, was jealous when he heard some yosomim telling Amana she could only collect her ksuba from Ziburis. All right, so now it's time for four Baba Chazara. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. So here goes. The slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board. Monopoly, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Hei. The slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident where a slave once fled from his master who lived in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael. When the master came to bring him back, Rabbi Ami told him to free him and the slave would pay his value, because he could not force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. This is based on a drush Rabbi Achi bar Rabbi Yoshia, where the pasuk says, "L'tasker evet el adonav, asher yinatz alecha mi'imanonav." You shall not hand over a slave to his master, a slave who escapes you from his master. So the slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands. Which reminds, the Mishnah states that one cannot ransom captives for more than their value because of Tikkun Olam, and the Gemara relates the story of Rav Elish discovering the Rav Nachman's daughters, who stirred boiling pots with their hands, were not righteous but were sorcerers. So the slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands, and an idolater writing a Sefer Torah on top of a matching green monopoly board, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Bein lochin svarim tefillin mezuzas mina obdi kochavim yosher al kedei deman. One may not buy Sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzas from idolaters for more than their value b'fnei tikkun olam, for societal benefit. Three opinions of Tanaim are quoted about using a Sefer Torah written by an idolater. Daf Mem Vav. So the Simur Daf Mem Vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. The woman sent away riding on a green cow. Cow? That must be run Daf Mem Vav. Moo. The woman sent away riding on a green cow by her husband, who divorced her because of a bad reputation, which reminds us, the Mishnah in the previous daf taught that one who divorces his wife because of shemra, a bad reputation, meaning rumors of adultery, or because she made a neder, and he doesn't want a wife who makes a darim, he may not remarry her thereafter. Two reasons emerge from the Gemara. In one version, Rabbi Nachman said the reason he cannot remarry is Mishum Kilkula, because of the ruin the husband may cause her after she remarries. In the second version, Rabbi Nachman said the husband must tell his wife he's divorcing her because of the rumors of the neder. He holds the reason he cannot remarry her is Kadesh Yibanos Yisrael Prutzos Ba'arayos Benedarim, so that Jewish women should not be lawless regarding illicit relations and Nedarim. Therefore, he must explain why she's being divorced, but he can't remarry her regardless. So the woman sent away riding on a green cow by her husband, who divorced her because of a bad reputation, passed by some Jewish leaders making a public vow to what looked like a group of non-Jewish distant travelers, which reminds us, Rav Shimon Levi explains Rav Yehuda's source that a publicly known neder cannot be annulled is based on the fact that Bnei Yisrael did not strike the Gimonim because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them when they falsely presented themselves as distant travelers. Rav Yehuda understands that the reason they observed the oath rather than annulling it was because it was known publicly and cannot be annulled. The Rabbanim responded that the oath was never effective in the first place since it was made under false pretenses. The only reason they didn't kill them was because of Kedushas Hashem, the sanctification of Hashem's name, so idolaters should not say the Jews violate their oaths. So the woman sent away riding on a green cow by her husband, who divorced because of a bad reputation, passed by some Jewish leaders making a public vow to what looked like a group of non-Jewish distant travelers, who owned a Jewish man who sold himself and his sons to them three times in a row and could no longer be redeemed. Which reminds us, the last mission on the daf states, Hamokher es atzmo v'zbanav lo'ovdei chachamim, one who sells himself and his sons to idolaters, ein podin oso, we do not redeem him or his sons, v'podin es habanim lacher mises avihem, but we redeem the sons after the father's death. Rav Asi says, v'hu shemacher v'shana v'shilesh, this is so where he sold himself, repeated it after being redeemed, and did so a third time. He's not redeemed again because he'll continue to sell himself, relying on the community to redeem him. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simur Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The group of cannibals running through the green maze. Maze? That must be one Daf Mem Zayin. The group of cannibals running through the green maze being chased by a rabbi, swinging his knotted bag with a hard ball in it, which reminds us, the Gemara tells us of the man who sold himself to cannibals who was discovered to be Yisrael Mumer, and how Reish Lakish killed the cannibals by tricking them and swinging his bag with a hard ball in it. So the group of cannibals running through the green maze being chased by a rabbi, swinging his knotted bag with a hard ball in it, fell into pits that an idolater was permitted to dig, which reminds the Gemara brings Malchus about an idolater's purchase of land in Eretz Yisrael regarding exempting from Meiser and digging pits. So the group of cannibals running through the green maze being chased by a rabbi, swinging his knotted bag with a hard ball in it, fell into pits that an idolater was permitted to dig, and never made to the end where buyers of rights to produce were joyously bringing their bikurim and reciting the psukim, which reminds us, the Gemara says, Hamocher Sedei Loperos, one who sells his field regarding rights for its produce. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mevi Vekore, the buyer brings Bikurim and recites the Bikurim Psukim. Reish Lakish says, Mevi Ve'eno Kore, he brings Bikurim but does not recite the Psukim. Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan holds, Kinyan Peros Kekinyan Akuftami, the ownership of rights to something's produce is tantamount to ownership of the principle itself. Therefore, he can write the Psukim, which include, quote, the land which you have given me. Reish Lakish holds that ownership of the rights to the land's produce is not like owning the land itself, and therefore he cannot recite the psukim. Daf Memches. So the Simur Daf Memches is a brainiac. So here goes. The brainiac, brainiac. That must be more on Daf Memches, brainiacs. The brainiac at the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by the purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brothers dividing inheritance of land theory, which reminds us, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish father positions if kinyan peres kinyan guf in a second case. Hamocher sedeu bezman sheh yovel noeg, one who sells his field during a time when yovel is in force. Rabbi Yochanan says the buyer brings bikurim and recites the psukim. And Reish Lakish says he cannot recite them. Since the buyer will have to return the field in yovel, his ownership is essentially only a right to its produce. Rabbi Yosef demonstrates Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is reflected in his position that achin shechalku lukuchosen, brothers who divide an inheritance are considered buyers of their portions. So the brainiac, the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by a purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brother's dividing inheritance of land theory, was overshadowed by the brainiac proudly showing off his three different grade lands for different types of creditors chart, which reminds us the fifth paragraph begins, Hanizakin Shamin Lahem Be'idis. Losses of damaged parties are assessed and then paid with superior quality of land of the responsible party, Ubalcho Be'benonis, and a creditor of a standard debt, such as a loan, is paid with average land, Uksubas Isha Bizibur's, and a woman's ksuba is paid with inferior land. Ramir says even a woman's ksuba is paid with Beninis. So the brainiac at the Going Green Conference, who just presented his thesis on the recitation of Bikurim Psukim by a purchaser of land during Yovel, based on his brother's dividing inheritance of land theory, was overshadowed by the brainiac proudly showing off his three different grade lands for different types of creditors chart, who explained the Talmudic discourse whether Edis is assessed based on the property of the Nizak or Mazik, which reminds the Gemara brings the Malchukas where Shimon Rekiva how Edis is assessed for damages, if Bede Mazik Sheminin or Bede Nizak Sheminin, whether it's assessed according to the damager's property or whether it's assessed according to the damaged party's properties. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we have Malchukas about a neder made publicly and the story of the Givonim that's on daf? Memvav. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you have machokas? If bedemazik shaminin or bedenizak shaminin? That's on daf. Memches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you have machokas about an idolatrous purchase of land in Eretz Yisrael regarding miser and digging pits? That's on daf. Memzayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you have when a woman always collects her ksuba from Yusomim, from Ziboris, and it's a machokas which she collects from when collecting from her husband? That's on daf. Memtes. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn why one who divorces because of his wife's bad reputation or neder cannot remarry her? That's on daf. Memvav. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss what the halacha is if an eved runs away from his master in chutz l'aretz to Eretz Yisrael? That's on daf. Memhei. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you learn according to Rabbi Shimon Edis is it the rice of payment for tikkun olam to dissuade gazlanim and chamsanim from their pursuits? That's on daf. Memtes. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn purchase money is refunded for land sold during Yovel? That's on daf. Memdal. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you learn one is high full payment when his ox scores an ox of Hekdish? That's on daf. Memtes. Good. And number 10. Which daf do you learn about the Yisrael Mumer who sold himself to cannibals and how Reish Lakish killed out the group of cannibals? That's on daf. Memzayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.